is one chapter completed, and the next chapter is opening up. For me, you know, when I opened up that rookie contract, I was, wow, this is it. And I completed that chapter. Now it's the next chapter.
They throw what could be a double pass. This is Boyd. Now he wants to throw it back. And the ball picked off by the Jaguars. Josh Allen, has he done enough this year yet? He picked off the double pass and ran it back inside the 10-yard line of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Extremely honored, extremely blessed and humbled to be even given a contract of this size. And, you know, I'm just totally blessed.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Happy Tuesday to you. Jaguars Today off and rolling. We're back all together at World Headquarters, Tony, and you can probably guess why I wore this shirt today.
Because I wore it yesterday.
You got that right, buddy. All right.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, well, we got
you
a lot of
the same
clothes.
They're not going to wear it, yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to wear, you're going to rock the 1010XL gear, if you're going to be a team player, Pockets, and I'm nothing if not a team player, then you got to make sure you don't duplicate. Like, Lauren Brooks and I both wore basically the same outfit yesterday, but we look so good in it that you would have thought we coordinated. So that's kind of how that's gone.
Would have thought. That's
Pockets.
That's the fear if you're wearing the same shirt. Did they coordinate?
It kind of is, yeah. Right? Oh, aren't they cute? Pockets, did you miss me?
A little bit. Yeah, I did. Right. In the flesh, I did a little bit.
What are you rocking in there? What are you wearing?
A plain Jane gray t-shirt.
Just plain gray
plain
t-shirt.
Jane. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Dry fit. Dry fit.
All right. Today, not going plain Jane on it, although we're going with great players in Jaguar history that I suppose can include current guys, Tony. Is Josh Allen played only one contract with the Jets? Like, is he eligible for our question today?
I did not consider him eligible
for
the question today.
I didn't put him in, but why wouldn't he be? He hasn't played two contracts with the team, right? Not yet.
I
he
suppose.
Signed him.
Yeah.
He could get traded tomorrow.
Yeah, if someone wanted to include that, they could. I'll spoil it. I have no players at the current roster on my list.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either. That's kind of how I wanted to do. I want to leave current players excluded. Let's let them write their story, and several of them will probably end up, you know, the ones you'd put on there are going to end up playing more than one contract with the team.
It's like, okay, Trevor Lawrence. I understand people that have been responding with Trevor Lawrence's name on there. It's like, yeah, but. Like, I get it. He's only been here 3 years, but I didn't want to include him. I'm like, I think he's going to be here 15.
But that's fine to me. Like, I'm with you. I didn't do it for that reason.
Sure.
And it's not – that contract's not even done yet, right?
So
he could continue playing on that deal. But if somebody wanted to put that in there as an indication of how good they think he is or what he's going to turn out to be, whatever. It's all good. And I'm sure there are people tuning in right now going – did I miss something? Did they explain what they're talking about? No, we did not. Okay? Today's question of the day, today, we've been percolating with this one for a little bit, is who are the five best players to play for the Jaguars that only played one contract with the team, no matter how long that contract was? And we're not talking about, you know, a contract extension means it's a new contract to me, right? You sign a second time. Fifth-year option? I think that's okay. That's kind of part of your rookie deal. Does the team exercise the option to have you for 4 or 5 years? I think that's fine if you played the fifth-year option and then left.
It's generally going to be players that they drafted and didn't get to a second contract or players that they signed to short deals and they didn't get a second deal here.
Well, that's all it could be.
You're right. Like, it can be somebody who maybe they got that short deal and then they got another short deal. Like, there may be players that qualify under that range of it, but I don't even know who those would be.
But I don't even, like, to me, if you got a short deal and another short deal, you don't qualify.
Yeah.
Like, this is, it's not a matter of years. One guy signed a 6-year deal with the team.
Sure.
Only contract he played with the team. I got him firmly in my top five.
Sure.
You know, so if you signed two shorties, you could have been here a shorter period of time than that, and it doesn't qualify. So it's only for guys that had one contract with the Jaguars. We'll allow some liberties. Everyone's not, you know, into the history of contracts and all that. And it's not always easy to find on some guys, right? Like SpotTrack, if you go back into the 90s, they're going to ask you, if you're a premium customer, if you want to look at some of those old deals, right? So you go, like, look at their Wikipedia page, Tony, and maybe they'll tell you that they played this range of years, mm-hmm. but not what their original deal was, what the next deal was, things like that. So we did our best to come up with a list of five guys. And you could participate in that in a number of ways. You know how to do that. Tuesday Top 5, hit us up on social media, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Denmark.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws, baby.
And, of course, on the phone lines, all Pro Roofing phone lines at 641-1010, same number for the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures, or in the YouTube chat. I see another wave of mock drafts, which is all we're going to get every day now for the next 9 days or so, and right up until Thursday morning. And those will be interesting to look at because, you know, everyone puts their final one together. People are still, I think, trying a few different scenarios out. Most recently today, I saw Quinyon Mitchell come to the Jags, courtesy of Peter Schrager. And I saw Byron Murphy come to the Jags in a CBS alternate pick scenario. I found it interesting. Did you see the Mel Kiper Field Yates draft where they went back and forth?
I did. Yeah, I glanced at it.
Right? No cornerback. They did three rounds, no cornerback for the Jaguars. Jags are looking at a lot of, like, I don't want to say lesser corners, but guys with traits. You know, Balky likes his guys with traits, right? You can only spend that 17 pick on one position. Unless you move back and you split it into multiple picks, you don't only spend the 48th pick on one position. As much as, yes, 96 is a third-round compensatory pick, but at 96 you're not, I mean, especially with this team's history, not necessarily drafting an immediate impact player. You hope he develops into that. So where do you get your corner help? Okay, first or second pick. Then where do you get your wide receiver help? Where do you get your edge rush help? Where do you get your offensive line help? And on we go in a circle. But I did think it was interesting. That and Marshawn Nealand mocked to the Jags in the second round. In that one again, the edge rusher out of Western Michigan. And Matt Miller and Field Yates did one of those, what are we hearing columns at the end of last week. And that basically that guy's not getting out of the top 50. And he has been attached to the Jags from a lot of different sources at this point. How do you feel about edge in the middle of round two? I know you wouldn't mind Jared Verse, but how do you feel about a guy that we haven't been conditioned and watched for the last couple of years at that particular position in the second round?
It wouldn't bother me. You know, I'm okay if they want to address that position at some point in the first couple of days of the draft. I can understand not wanting to because there's not an open starting spot, you know, necessarily. So I'm less inclined to do it. After you're talking the guys that we've talked about in the first round, you know, the Verse or Latu, like, I would be happy if either of those names were the ones that were called at 17. I'm less inclined in the second round because you are talking lesser talented guys that you'd be bringing in for that kind of spot, but I wouldn't be upset if that's the direction they went. It's not like the back end of their depth chart is filled at this point. So if they got a guy that can be that guy, like, that's obviously the role, I'm okay with that.
It's interesting, too, that they describe him as a guy who, much like Trayvon Walker, can play edge for you and slide inside on third down. Do we have anybody who's going to stay on the outside on third down at this point in time? But anyway, he's a name to watch, to be sure, based on the way, the tea leaves have been sprinkled out there. And, if next week passes and he doesn't become a Jag, we'll forget all about him.
No doubt.
And it'll just want to be one of those remember when blips on the radar screen. All right. We debated whether we'd go 1 through 5 or 5 to 1 in the countdown today. And even if it takes some of the drama out at the end, we're going to go 5 to 1. We're counting down today the top 5 Jacksonville Jaguars who only played one contract with the team. Pockets, so why don't you get a start?
Number 5.
Who you got at 5? This is going to be a very young group, is my guess. But that's okay.
See,
Pockets,
yes, that's
gives
correct.
Us the generation whatever's version.
That just had happened. I'm going to go Allen Robinson, number 5.
Okay.
I remember the really good year he had in 2015, 14 touchdowns. And then really that was about it. I know he got an injury. He had the ACL, I think it was, in 2017. His 10-year career, he only had, since that 14 touchdown season, he's had six touchdowns, seven touchdowns, six touchdowns. Everything else has been less than that. He was a force to be reckoned with, even though the team wasn't really that good in 2015. And I remember when he got hurt in 2017, it was like, God, like we're missing a huge piece because that was game one, and it didn't really seem to affect us. And I don't know if y'all feel the same about me.
About you? I do have you in the top five, yes.
About like 10 years ago, like it didn't feel like – I looked at the stats from that season, and it kind of contradicts what I'm about to say. But like you didn't need a number one receiver to be a really good team. And we had that for that 1 year with Allen Robinson, and then you see him get hurt a couple years later, and it's like you don't really need that number one receiver. Now you look at the NFL, it's like you got to have a number one receiver.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit cyclical, right? It depends on what's working. But
sure.
Who's KC's number one receiver? The guy who goes 119 miles an hour in a Lamborghini? I mean, he was okay. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
Travis Kelce's their number one wide receiver, yeah. And Patrick Mahomes did just fine. Right, they won two Super Bowls without Tyreek Hill, but I do agree with you. It's become more of a kind of a guy that the defense has to adjust to.
There's certainly a premium put on it,
no right doubt now. About yeah. it. I've got Allen Robinson at five as well. That one season is hard to overlook. Right, I mean 80 catches, 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns. One of the great receiving seasons in Jacksonville Jaguar history, and. You know, had he not gotten hurt, I think he was probably in for a banner 2017. Somewhat suffered because of Blake Bortles, but also benefited because of Blake Bortles' willingness to kind of throw it up and let him make plays out there. Don't know how much it was the knee injury that impacted him, but he was never that explosive guy after that in terms of yards per catch. Really, that season stands out regardless. I mean, the rest of his years here in Jacksonville are kind of – in line with his career averages in terms of average yards per reception, had a couple more 1,000-yard seasons in Chicago. But, you know, the focus is on what they did here in Jacksonville. I did have Allen Robinson good enough to slip into the top five.
Number five for me is not Allen Robinson. I had a guy who only played here for two seasons early on for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was a two-time first-team All-Pro before he got to Jacksonville as an older player. Didn't sign here until he was 32 years old. But I have Clyde Simmons at number five for me. Played here in 96 and 97. I know a lot of the headlines go for what they did up in Denver in that playoff run in 96. If it wasn't for the 20-yard pick six against Buffalo, the Denver game might not have happened. That Clyde Simmons happened to have gotten in that playoff game. A hero for the Jaguars that day. Two solid seasons here. It's not like he was spectacular. 7.5, 8.5 sacks in each of the 2 years that he played here in Jacksonville, but the hero play in that wild card game in the Jags' first ever playoff game to get them that 30-27 win gets him on the list for me.
All right, Clyde Simmons makes the top five for Tony. Who are your top five Jaguars who only spent one contract here with the team? That's your Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day. You can hit us up in any of the aforementioned ways, or you could just pick up the phone and call and talk Jaguar football with the draft bearing down on us now with only 9 days to go until round one arrives here. You see Anton Harrison's out there tweeting a variety of of interesting things, right?
Yeah.
He's been doing this for a while now.
Got the food thing going, yeah.
Yeah, I legit get mad when I see people put ketchup and or hot sauce in eggs.
Oh.
Like, delicious. Ketchup and scrambled eggs, the way to go. For me, a lot of people put hot sauce. Like, there are plenty of food options that I look at. I'm trying to think at if there's anything that actually makes me mad about what other people eat. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, I got one.
What?
A1 sauce on steak. Ruining the steak.
What if you like A1 sauce?
I mean, it ruins the steak, man. That makes me mad.
Does it?
Yeah.
I get it.
It's not your steak.
Yeah.
Everyone
can do whatever they want, but it's not my eggs either, you know?
Right, like, exactly. That's my point. Why are you mad?
Like, I can understand.
Why are you mad, bro?
I can understand why someone would be upset about those things. It doesn't mean I am.
Okay.
But I get it. Like, I would say if you're having to put A1 sauce on the steak, it's not a well-cooked steak.
I don't buy that. I don't buy that. Some people just like A1. I don't use A1 sauce, for the record, but
I also grew up in a household where none of us were going to go to any of the condiments, no ketchup, no any of that until we saw mom go to it, right? Like, it was like if mom made the meal and she brought something to the table to add some kind of flavor to the meal. It was like, okay, she's acknowledging this isn't her best work tonight.
Y'all took this way too deep psychologically with mom back in the day.
Right, like that kind of thing. It was like we didn't.
My mom's like, "You want, is that going to help you eat that? Go ahead and pour some ketchup on that.
I had no options with that. No.
Oh. You want ketchup on your green beans? Let's go.
I ate it the way it was prepared until mom didn't.
You can eat those damn green beans one way or the other. You're going to sit there until tomorrow. All right. We are off and rolling. Glad you're with us. If you were out at the Coastal Equipment Guggen Open yesterday, hope you had a great time. I bet you did because it was hard not to.
No doubt.
Spectacular day. Thanks to Coastal Equipment, all the great sponsors in Hidden Hills for being the host out there yesterday. But we are back at World Headquarters and ready to go. 9 days from the NFL Draft, you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Yeah, I know this has been going on a little bit of a while here, Tony, with Anton Harrison, the food critic. But, you know, the one, if you've never dipped your french fries in your milkshake, you're not serious about life. I get that. I guess if you don't have onion rings available to you. Because onion rings in a chocolate milkshake are one of the great fast food taste combinations there are, I think.
Yeah.
Give me that burger.
The onion ring in there?
Oh, my God. Scoop an onion ring right into your chocolate milkshake.
I've never done it.
Unbelievable.
Try
it
out.
Get that sweet and salty, right? Woo. Son, telling you. And it's true, right, that in every box of onion rings, there's that one spare fry. Is that not the case? I mean, it certainly seems that way.
Oh, yeah.
They always get that
They're always right next to each other. Yeah.
A little runt in there. You never get that bonus onion ring in the fries, though.
Oh, no.
You get the bonus fry in there because you're too lazy to pick it out. Anyway, thank you, Anton, for keeping us informed. So one of the things you were mentioning about Clyde Simmons, right? You didn't mention the blocked field goal against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, in 97. He was the one who blocked the field goal on Monday Night Football, and Bill Cowher almost got himself fired over it.
Yes, Chris Hudson running it back, and Cowher flinched. Remember that, Pockets, or have you seen that clip enough?
I've seen it, yeah.
That you
I remember watching it live.
Recall
I've
it.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy to only be here 2 years. And have a pick six in the playoff game, and that field goal blocked on Monday Night Football the next year. Like, two really impactful
good
play. Plays.
I think he was more of a he was a good player when he's here. I think he was more of a culture setter, which is fine.
No doubt.
You know, if you're making your own top five list. You know, when I was going through it, Allen Robinson is fifth all time still in receiving for the Jaguars. And everybody ahead of him had multiple contracts, right? So that was one of the things. So as I was going through these lists, Tony, or trying to compile my list, I'm looking at some of the statistical categories and, you know, who's the highest guy and, you know, when it comes to sacks and tackles and receptions, whatever, that only played here 1 year. So it brought me to the Jaguars' career statistics page over at Pro Football Reference.
Sure.
And I was just scrolling through the list of the top 10 passers in team history. I thought, it's kind of interesting. Right, there's some very, very obvious guys on here. Between you and Pockets, how many strikes do you need? How many guesses do you need to get the full top 10 under penalty of death?
Tony, it's all up to you.
Under penalty of death.
Under penalty of death.
To get 10 names?
All right. A good rap on the knuckles from the teacher.
A couple strikes, I think I could get it.
12? Yeah. Total. Yeah. I'll let you work in concert with Pockets. I don't think you're going to get a lot of help here on this one.
Burnell, Bortles, Garrard.
Okay. He's coming. I guess we're starting, Pockets. Burnell, Bortles, Garrard in order. 1, 2, 3.
I would assume that's 1, 2, 3.
That is 1, 2, 3.
Trevor's
gotta
be up there already.
Yes, he is. Pockets, you want to weigh in on this before
this
he
most
takes,
passing yards?
Yeah, most passing yards in team history. Anybody you want to get in before Tony qualms them all up?
There's still a couple that you...
There's still some obvious
here,
ones here. Yeah, yeah.
Leftwich
is 5, so you got them all in order so far. Who's 6?
All right, Tony, who's played the most?
It's pretty good. That's what made it interesting. Like, you got to 6, and you're like, okay, this is interesting. The order and the 5 guys who make it
Gabbert?
In there.
How long did he play?
He didn't play very long. Like, I'd imagine he's in the 10, but I don't think he's 6.
All right, you didn't have to be 6. Are you guessing Gabbert is one of the 10? He's 8.
Okay.
Okay. 4,357 yards. Leftwich had 9,042. So two guys in between 4,357 and 9,042.
Okay. I would guess Henny?
Henny is sixth.
Okay.
Chad Henny.
Check down Chad.
Your dirty half dozen right there. Check down Charlie there, went 5,800 yards in his Jacksonville tenure with 27 touchdowns, 26 interceptions. Let's see. By the way, are we all good on the – yeah, so far everybody's on the right side of this.
Yeah.
144 and 86 for Brunell, this TD to interception ratio. 103 to 75 for the boat. DG9, 89 to 54. T-Law, 58 to 39. Okay. Leftwich, 51 to 36. Henny, 27 to 26.
Oh, it's clears the bar. Is and, closing.
And, well, feel... I'm sorry. And Gabbert, though. Gabbert blows it.
Gabbert ruined it.
24 picks, 22 touchdowns. You feel what, Pocket?
Tony, we doing Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, I would go with Gardner.
Seven.
Yeah.
There we go.
You got the top eight. And I thought you'd get the top eight.
Yeah, this is where I imagine it gets hard.
Fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Fun at the bottom here.
Let's see.
So your top eight in order, Brunell, Bortles, Garrard, Trevor, Leftwich, Henny, Minshew, Gabbert. These are passing yard career leaders for your Jaguars.
There's not a lot of guys that played a whole lot outside. I would Glennon.
Mike Glennon is 10. Man, that is clutch. That is you know, Glennon threw for 1,072.
Yeah, it's not going to be
much. I
didn't
know if you'd get Glennon in the top 10. That was a tricky one.
And now I'm...
All right, how many games did Cody Kessler start for us or play for us?
Not nearly that.
All right.
Yeah.
He
may have played in like half a dozen.
He played in as many games as Mike Glennon.
Five or something like that, yeah.
He played in... He had one less start than Mike Glennon. But he did play in the same amount of games. Yeah. Mike Glennon played in five games for the Jaguars. Five.
I don't think that guy played enough. He got to play several times because he's got Quinn Gray.
Quinn Gray is nine. Tony needs no extra votes, ladies and gentlemen. I would have thought you went Berline.
That's the other guy I was thinking.
He's 11.
Yeah.
Okay. The Jaguars' esteemed passing leaders list in order of yardage outside of Mike Glennon, who threw for 1,072. Berline threw for 952. Jonathan Quinn.
The medicine man.
Nick Foles is 13th on your all-time passing list, ladies and gentlemen, with 736.
Four games. Shoot you up the list.
Just ahead of Cody. Cody Kessler. Jamie Martin. Jay Fiedler.
Wow.
Jake Luton. Oof. At 624, Luke McCown, Beathard then comes in, and all those guys right ahead of Rob Johnson. Rob Johnson, most valuable, 368 yards in Jaguars history.
Crazy day.
It's like 260 in the Ravens game.
Yeah.
You know, that was basically it. He played in two games with the one start. The lowest passing yards of anyone who's attempted a pass for the Jacksonville Jaguars is -1. Christian Kirk.
Sorry, Christian.
You're terrible.
We got to let him throw one more this year.
He's
one, in the
one for three passing for -1 yards. Dede Westbrook, Brian Walters, Mark Royals, the punter, Shoelace, and Cleo Lemon all also have 0 passing yards for the Jags. And
ouch, Cleo.
Cleo, you're actually a quarterback,
right?
Bro. I mean,
that hurts.
Yikes. MJD, Matt Jones, Brian Angers got 19. Anyway, I just saw Mike Glennon in the top 10, and that's really what I was like. I wonder if he'll get Glennon and Quinn Gray both ahead of Berline.
Yeah.
There. So well played, sir. All right, let's do this. Let's break because we're on time. And we'll come back and we'll pick up the countdown with #4. We're doing the top 5 Jaguar players who only played on one contract with the team. And you can order them and put whoever you like in there as long as they only had one contract. A rookie who had a fifth-year option, that's fine. If you're on the franchise tag and played under it, then it's not fine. If you played under the franchise tag, we consider that a second contract. Anyway, send us your list, and we will evaluate them as we go along, and we'll give you our submissions as well. At 641-1010 on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines if you want to get in on the program. With Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark, I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Work it, make it, do it, make it.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, here we go. Jaguars Today moving along. 9 days out from the NFL Draft 2024 when Trent Baalke goes absolutely ballistic and stocks your team with nothing but future All-Pros. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be sweet.
That would be sweet. Let's hope. How about one? One future All-Pro. Let's start there. That would
be sweet, too.
A couple of Pro Bowlers, maybe a solid starter or three. I don't know.
I was going to go Hall of Fame.
Hall of Famers?
Oh, just one? You're not going to get greedy about it?
I'd just say one.
Just one Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
Seems reasonable. Mm-hmm. Who's that Hall of Famer going to be, Pockets?
Marvin Harrison.
Oh, is it? Okay.
At 17.
At 17?
Yeah.
What are we? Are we sending him the gas mask bong to video himself ahead of time?
You can something like that.
Don't they have a filter for that now that you could just
right, yeah.
throw that up there, throw that video up there, and it automatically places that mask on his face?
And on the mask it says, I want to go to Jacksonville at 17.
I want to go to Jacksonville. Jacksonville. Jags or bust. Yes. Is that your guy, Pockets, if you could have anybody?
Yeah. I think he's the one where, after the, other than the quarterbacks, it's like Marvin Harrison's going to be the dude. Brock Bowers should be a dude.
I
and then
hope he's. I mean, I think he'll be the dude. I think he'll be really good. I don't know if he'll be better than Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze. Roma Dunze's. I don't know what he's lacking. You know what I mean? Other than Roma Dunze Sr. being a Hall of Fame receiver at the position. I mean, look, sure. Don't get me wrong. I think most people agree with Dylan that Harrison is the number one prospect in the draft, maybe at any position, honestly. Maybe number two overall behind Caleb Williams if you're rolling the quarterbacks in there. But
doesn't this feel like a draft where the four quarterbacks go first? McCarthy would probably be the fourth quarterback. Marvin Harrison, and it's like whatever happens after that, just whoever falls to you. Like, it doesn't feel like usually you have a team that's like, okay, we have this need. We're going to get this guy. Like the Giants or the Jets, I feels like they have multiple needs.
I think it lines up, though, with what's going to be available. I think that's what people are feeling, right? Like the Giants at six, who tops their wide receiver depth chart, right? Darius Slayton or Jalen Hyatt or
it's
like
one of those
who,
guys,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly, right? So nobody that's right now currently striking fear into the hearts of fellow NFC East competitors. So Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, if that's the consolation prize, pretty good consolation prize right there, right? And then you got who they're at six. You got the
who knows
the Titans.
What the Chargers are going to do.
Right, we don't know what the Chargers are going to do, but the feeling is that they could easily go receiver as well, right? Yeah. Now this is all predicated. Are we seeing Minnesota trade up like Dylan's suggesting? I mean, it doesn't have to be Minnesota, but does the team move up with Arizona to get to four quarterbacks in a row off the board? Or maybe are we overselling that possibility? Maybe it's three. Maybe Arizona's just like, hey, if Harrison really is the best player, and we're pretty sure of that, at least in our evaluation, let's just take him.
Yeah.
Right? Because you start playing around, hey, we're going to get this for dropping back, then we're going to try to use 75% of that to move back up and get the guy we want. Well, what if you can't, you know?
Yeah.
And you're right.
It's difficult to figure all that out.
Look, the Chargers could go, like, if it goes four quarterbacks, Chargers could go Marvin Harrison, right? They could go offensive line, and they're a trade-out candidate for receiver or quarterback for a team to move into that spot.
Yeah, the only thing they're not doing is drafting a quarterback.
Correct.
You know, like, but that's it.
Correct. Unless they trade Herbert, get their guy McCarthy.
That'd be bananas.
Because Harbaugh's getting the band back together. Yeah, you want the courage of your convictions. Yeah. You're telling us he's the best player in the draft.
Right. And the moment you step in front of Mike, it was, why'd you take this job if it wasn't to work with Herbert?
According to Blake Corum, it's to get the band back. Or no, it's Roman Wilson is what he said. Right. You see that? Roman Wilson said, I think Harbaugh's going to be drafting a bunch of guys off that team.
Okay.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Spurrier had 17 guys drafted.
Spurrier thought he'd had the Gators back together in Washington.
Yes, he did.
But at least Harbaugh's coached in the NFL.
Yeah.
And knows what an NFL caliber player looks like. And Spurrier just thought he was going to plug the fun and gun into the NFC East and have it take off like that.
Didn't quite work that way.
Didn't quite work as smoothly. All right, Pockets, why don't we jump back into the countdown here.
Number four.
Tony, why don't you tell us who's number four on your list? Clyde Simmons, number five.
Yeah, Clyde Simmons, number five for me. At number four, I have A.J. Boye. Three seasons here in Jacksonville, 2017 to 2019. Pro Bowler, second team All-Pro in 2017. I argue he was the best corner on that team in 2017, and that's on a team with Jalen Ramsey on it. Boye allowed a passer rating that season of 33.8. The passer rating of an incompletion is 39.6. He was better than an incomplete pass through that season when you tried to throw the ball in his direction. A.J. Boye, number four on my list.
Yeah, I think A.J. was outstanding. I'll tell you now, he didn't make my top five. Mm-hmm. That season, I agree with you. I do think, I mean, statistically, you know, numerically, he was better. He was the best corner in the league that year, mm-hmm. you know, according to the metrics. Now, you could factor in other things like, you know, like part of Deion Sanders' great play was his mystique, right?
That sure.
I cover the passes thrown my way a certain way, but how many passes am I forcing to the other side of the field? Anyway, I went with Unique Ngakoue.
Okay.
Who's third on the career sack list for this football team. Obviously ended in a mess. I tried to take the endings out of it. All he did was produce mm-hmm. when he was on the field here. For the Jacksonville Jaguars, and, you know, he's basically an 8-sack-a-year guy. He's got a couple double-digit sacks in his career and, you know, got it to the spat with Tony Khan, trade me. Jags said, look, we're not just going to let you walk. They applied the franchise tag, but he never played under it here in Jacksonville as they traded him in August of that year to the right. Minnesota Vikings, who then quickly realized, well, he's not a complete defensive end here, and I don't know what they thought they were getting when they traded for him. And they flipped him, and that started the kind of musical chairs game with Unique Ngakoue throughout his career. But in terms of just being a super productive player when he was here, hard to argue with you know, what he's been able to do statistically, and was a phenomenal third-round pick. I mean, really, mm-hmm. that range right there, Dave Caldwell made some good picks with that squad that went as far as they did to the AFC title game. But couldn't get him signed to second contracts
yeah.
in a lot of cases. So I got Jan at number four. Who you got, Pockets?
I'm going to go Malik Jackson, staying on that D-line in 2017. Played 3 years. I think he signed a six-year deal, I believe it was, right after he won that Super Bowl with Denver. Played 3 years, had 6.5, eight sacks, and then 3.5 sacks his final year in Jacksonville before he ended up going to Philly. Was really a productive year. And, I mean, you just look at that 2017 with all those D linemen, how many sacks those guys had, it's pretty incredible, and I'm sure most of those guys will be in our top three.
Well, I'm sure we've got several more to mention anyway coming up. But Malik Jackson, several people have mentioned him. I think he was a good culture piece for this team too, right, Tony? Yeah. Came from a winning organization at the time and, you know, kind of stood up for his city, so to speak, you know, and really put it out there as, like, you're not going to mess with Duval. You know, there's a new era coming in yeah. here. I don't think he was as good a player as some of the guys I have ahead of him on the list, but he definitely made an impact.
Yeah, I didn't have him on the list. I did have him on the short list of guys I was considering for the five.
Yeah.
Right? And Malik is, you know, I hold him in a separate place in my mind because he is a guy I talked to at the Super Bowl about coming to Jacksonville when he was going to that game with Denver. That year at Media Day, I was like, you're a free agent, you know, keep Jacksonville in mind. You're like, he is one of the guys I, quote, recruited, end quote. You know, we did the same thing with A.J.
Boye. Boye, same
right?
year.
On Radio Row. You know, like, those kind of things happen. And then, you know, I'll never forget being over there for the J-Fun Day, and Malik is going to be in with the guys
yeah.
after us, and him just being in the studio and being, what do you need to get to the number?
We're trying to hit a threshold, whatever yeah. it was at the time, which was – back then, a lot lower than it is now.
Yeah, and he was like, what do you need to get to the number? He's like, all right, and wrote the check.
Yeah.
You know, like right there, he's like, "That if that's what it's going to take, that's what it's going to take." Like, he always struck me as a good dude, and on top of that, I mean, that moment in that locker room after that playoff game, standing next to Calais is one of the all-timers in Jaguars history.
No doubt.
You know, like, and that it's talking smack to the Titans fans on top of that. I mean, it couldn't have been any more beautiful from Malik Jackson that day, but certainly a guy I considered for the five, but didn't quite make my top.
Yeah, he's been mentioned a bunch already this morning, so certainly not standing out in a bad way for being included in that list. All right, let's do this. So, well, we got a minute here. Why don't we take a look around the rest of the National Football League?
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
The Indianapolis Colts and defensive tackle DeForest Buckner got a two-year, $46 million contract extension done. Buckner is now under contract with the Colts through the 2026 season. Seattle signed guard Laken Tomlinson. Cincinnati head coach Zach Taylor said on Monday that quarterback Joe Burrow's recovery from wrist surgery has been positive and that he remains on track for now to participate in the team's offseason workouts. New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones is making progress in his recovery from an ACL tear last season. He is expected to be ready for the start of training camp for the Giants. Dallas wide receiver CeeDee Lamb was not present for the start of the Cowboys offseason program. Minnesota wide receiver Justin Jefferson also not in attendance for the start of the Vikings offseason program yesterday.
All right. Thank you, Tone. There's a lot of, you know, you watch the betting markets at this time of year for what they think certain outcomes are going to be when it comes to the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. And there's, for instance, Jaden Daniels is becoming a more solidified favorite to go number two. Don't know if that's going to be the case, right, or not. Right. I don't know if anybody really has insight into what Washington is thinking with a new ownership group there as to who they want to be the face of their franchise. That's one thing. Also, the Atlanta Falcons seen as a team that could have significant interest in trading out of their spot in the draft. Now, I wonder why the Falcons aren't mentioned, to be honest with you, as a candidate to draft one of those receivers. I mean, they have Drake London, And they signed Darnell Mooney, but I don't think Darnell Mooney is a depth chart changing piece. If Darnell Mooney's your three, I think it's a really nice three. Mm-hmm. They have Kyle Pitts at tight end, but you look at the Bears, Tony, they've got DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
That's better than what the Falcons have.
For sure.
And everyone thinks, oh, you got to get Caleb Williams a weapon. What about Kirk Cousins? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I don't quite understand why Atlanta is not seen as a potential landing spot there. But the feeling is that they may be open for business because they need a lot of things. They need pass rush. For instance, you could sit there and take Dallas Turner or Jared Verse or Leia Tulatu or whomever you like. Mm-hmm. But they're said to have interest in him, in particular, in Latu, and feel like they may be able to trade out of that spot. So if you want to make that bold move, really, eight might be the place, because you get to nine, the Bears might just go, well, we got a lot of draft capital thanks to the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to go with what we got right here and just give Caleb Williams this young weapon that you'd love to pair with Trevor Lawrence.
Well, I also think, and it's not a spot where you hear it talked about a lot, but I do think it's probably the first spot in the draft there at eight with Atlanta that they would, you know, start. Someone's going to start thinking about Brock Bowers at some point, right?
You think Atlanta would go the
but
Bowers
I don't think
route?
It's Atlanta. I'm saying somebody
trade into
and
that
people
spot.
Talking about Atlanta trading a lot, you mm-hmm. know, here over the last couple of weeks, and that does feel like if someone could make a small move to get to that spot to get a guy like Bowers, if they really do feel like you'll see him on these lists of people just putting together their
top
rankings,
six
right?
overall player.
Right. Like, and if he really is that kind of player in this draft, maybe you're willing to spin the wheel and see if he lands with us if we're picking 12 or wherever it happens to be, right? Like, maybe you're willing to play that game. It is the NFL draft, so you're going to have to gamble, you know, at some point on what's going to happen. You know, you don't know what the outcomes of all this is going to be, but Atlanta seems to be a team that is open for business, right? You want to make a move to get into the top 10, Atlanta, outside of those top five spots where quarterbacks being talked about all the time, does feel like a spot is that's at least open for it.
You know, sometimes you trade to get ahead of a team. Sometimes you trade because you're afraid somebody else is going to do the same thing and slide in that spot. Like, you look at the Jets at 10, and there's a lot of talk that they could go offensive line, even though they signed Tyron Smith. Yeah. But they absolutely could go Bowers. You know, you think back to Green Bay.
He makes all kinds of sense.
Tons of sense, right? They have Tyler Conklin at the top of their depth chart, who's just a guy.
Yeah.
And what was the complaint of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? They never, you know, they drafted Jordan Love for 3-4 years down the road. What good does that do us now? Didn't draft him any pass catchers in the first round, that kind of thing. So go out and get Brock Bowers. They've already added Mike Williams. They've got Garrett Wilson there. They're trying to put the pieces together. And you could sit there and go, well, Atlanta's not going to take him. Chicago, more likely to take Odunze. And I've heard that the Jets would take Odunze in a heartbeat as mm-hmm. well. Apparently, a lot of people would. Look, maybe the Jets would jump up and take Odunze if that were the case.
Maybe, yeah.
either way.
Because you'd probably have to get ahead of Chicago to get whoever that third receiver is.
Right, the third receiver potential, or someone trying to trade into that spot.
Yeah.
So if you could give a, I don't know what it would take, fourth round pick to jump the Bears and get up two spots and get the offensive weapon of your choice, I think that's a team you can keep an eye on just because it's such a small move, and that keeps Atlanta probably with the same range of guys they would have taken with that pick anyway at 8, still available to them at 10, and maybe even setting up an even further trade down in the first round. But I guess we'll see.
We will.
You know, Ryan Nielsen, are you considered in good standing? In hot Atlanta, maybe we can use that to our advantage. All right, hour two on the way. If you would like to play along with today's question of the day, we're asking you the top five Jacksonville Jaguars who only played one contract with the team. We'll continue the countdown when we get into hour number two. We'll take a look at that three-round combined mock between Mel Kiper and Field Yates over at ESPN as well, what they've got the Jaguars focusing on. It's not corner, I'll tell you that, in those first three rounds. So we'll get to that and more coming your way with Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark. I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags, Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
And so we're looking at the value, Tony Smith, of the Jags moving up from 17 to 9 and what they'd have to give the Bears, right? It's basically you give the 48th pick, and then maybe you could expect like a seventh rounder coming back.
Something like that.
Right? I'm looking at it. CBS, they were talking about the Falcons as we just were possibly being a trade target for teams trying to get into the top 10 for Adunze. And the feeling is, according to them, that someone's trading into the top 10 to get him. Like that he's going to be the guy that – that's provided that he doesn't go ahead and leak Neighbors, right? Then maybe Neighbors becomes the guy that they move up to get. But they were listing it. What if the Colts wanted to move up from 15? They said it would take the 46th pick and a fourth rounder next year, right? So if you're looking at the Jags with the 48th pick this year, again, 8 to 9 is only one spot. But you are getting ahead of the Chicago Bears. If you're like, I'm already not 100% sure I want to deal 17 and 48 for anybody because I don't think it's going to get me Marvin Harrison Jr. But if I did it, it would be for one of these receivers.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel about 17, 48 and a fourth rounder to get it? Does that, if you had to add a fourth rounder next year, does that change your interest level one way or the other? It's getting pricey.
Yeah, that is. That's. I think it would.
You think it would change it?
Yeah.
I don't know if it would. I'm going to say if I'm at the mental space where I'm good with 17 and 48 going that way, and it takes a fourth rounder next year to get it done, I'll do it. I'll pick up that. I'll get a fourth rounder. I'll trade off somebody, you know, along the way. I'll do. Or even if I don't, it's a fourth rounder a year from now. You know, if that's what it takes for me to cross the finish line, if I am making up, if I'm giving up 17 and 48, I better be pretty convicted that this guy is going to be a star, right? And that if it's a Dunze or Malik Neighbors, that he's the final piece that we need to unlock the full potential of Trevor Lawrence or however you want to describe it.
Yeah, and, you know, as you mentioned before the break, too, it's sometimes you're making a move because of what you anticipate someone else might be doing, right? And want to be the team that makes the move before they do.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if you saw Peter Schrager's mock this morning.
All I did was look and saw the Jags taking Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah, but, you know, it looks the way that it typically does at the top, with it going Williams, Daniels, May. 1, 2, 3. The Giants trade up to 4 to get McCarthy. Marvin Harrison Jr., 5 to the Chargers. Adunze, 6 to Arizona.
Okay. Ahead of Neighbors.
Ahead of Neighbors. Alt, 7. Dallas Turner, 8. Then he has the Colts trading to 9 to go up and make the move to get Neighbors.
Okay, it's basically the same thing, kind of. You know, moving to 8, you're moving to 9, whatever the case. The question is, does Chicago really want to add another receiver to a good pair that they already have? And granted, Keenan Allen's, you know, what does he have, 1 year left on his deal? I think he said he wants to. So it's not like he's there for the long term. And, you know, you are talking about getting in on the ground floor with Caleb Williams and all that, but they also need pass rush. You know, they're trying to build a complete team. Right now, they can go out there, and their top two receivers are as good as or better than most teams in the league. Mm-hmm. They're not the best pair, but they're up there in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
So you're adding to what's already a strength, which that's fine. That's interesting, though. I wonder if that, you know, I felt like the CBS piece was more just speculating. Like, let's see, would the Falcons be willing to move this far? And could this team come up? Wonder if there's some percolating sentiment that the Colts are that team looking to make that move because they also have a young quarterback that they're trying to set up for success. Well, I wouldn't mind, though, if it falls this way, honestly, it'd be a little bit boring. Like, I like the trading around. I like the moving around stuff.
Sure.
You know, it's fun. That doesn't mean it's the best for building your team. Quinyon Mitchell would be a boring but excellent pick.
Yeah. Right? And, you know, in that mock draft we're talking about with Schrager, you know, he has the – he had Terrion Arnold, I think, at 11 to Minnesota is where the first corner came off. And then he had Latu to Denver. And then there was the offensive line run.
Right.
Right before the Jags because he had Fashanu, Fuanga, Latham, Fautanu.
All in a row.
Right. Right. And then the Jags wind up with Quinyon Mitchell.
Which, by the way,
I'd be happy with.
Right. If Quinyon Mitchell goes and we ended up with Fautanu, I wouldn't hate that.
No, I'd be fine with that too.
Quite frankly. All right. Let's look at what they did over at ESPN. Kiper and Yates went back to back, alternating picks. And we'll just set it up until it gets to 17 so we know where things stood for the Jags in this. Kiper's doing the odd numbers. Yates doing the even numbers. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, your top three. Cardinals stay pat. I don't know if they're doing trades in this deal or not. Cardinals stand pat, take Marvin Harrison. I guess they are because here's a projected trade where the Vikings move up here with the Chargers then. So the Cardinals are like, nah, we're going to get the guy we want. We're not going to play around. And then Harbaugh, after saying J.J. McCarthy is best player in the draft, he's going to trade the rights to draft him to the Minnesota Vikings. Malik Nabers to the Giants, Joe Alt, Dallas Turner, Roma Dunze. That's pretty common.
Standard, yeah.
Right? Pretty standard. Fautanu this time to the Jets, right? Move these offensive linemen around. J.C. Latham, offensive lineman. Brock Bowers goes to Denver in this one. Quinyon Mitchell goes to the Raiders. Fashanu goes to the Saints, the offensive lineman. Terrion Arnold, there's the second corner to the Colts, and then Byron Murphy, the Seahawks. So the Jags take Brian Thomas out of LSU. There's a wide range of where Thomas can come off the board. He might even fall to the end of round one, says Kiper, but he'd be a great fit as a Calvin Ridley replacement. Trevor Lawrence completion rate on go balls would rise. Let's hope that he's that guy. I mean, if they take him, I'm fine. I'm going to assume that they love him.
Yeah.
Right? And I have no problem getting Trevor if they – a guy that they project to be a future number one, if that's what they project him for. I'm also fine if they wait and take a shot on a receiver in round two or three, whatever the case may be. So round two, already mentioned it earlier, Field Yates doing the even number picks, had him taking Marshawn Nyland, the edge rusher out of Western Michigan. And he writes, well, Jacksonville signed Josh Allen to a deserved long-term deal, and Trayvon Walker broke out last year. The team must continue to hammer the edge depth. I think Nealon's blend of raw power and quickness would be very appealing to general manager Trent Baalke, traits guy. But you hear this connection made quite frequently with the Jags at the 48 pick. And then finally at 96, it's Yates again making the selection for the Jaguars, and they take an offensive tackle out of Texas, Christian Jones. He says this is a bit of a look-ahead pick for the Jags who can get another offensive tackle in the pipeline. He has a ton of experience with 48 career starts and has played both sides, left and right. I like that a lot, right? Like, I'm not opposed to taking an offensive lineman in round one if you're letting him compete on the interior. You got a plan to at least let him compete to win a starting job right away. Or maybe you're drafting a tackle with the eye on maybe we can flip Cam Robinson for what we can get.
Right.
Save some salary cap space, apply that to a Trevor Lawrence or a Tyson Campbell deal, whatever. Right? Not opposed to that at all. I don't want to draft a guy who's not going to play in his rookie year at 17. So, and if he's going to be that great down the road, why couldn't he force his way into the lineup on the offensive line? Here, if I'm spending the 96th pick in the draft for a guy who has that much starting experience at a big-time program who can play both sides, that to me, Tony, is great. I don't have to move Cam Robinson. I could, maybe, mm-hmm. right? But that's okay. We've got an answer, and we're going to know by the end of this season whether we need to do anything there. Do we re-sign Walker Little? Is he a swing tackle? Is he in the equation? Or is Jones and Harrison, is that our tackle combo for the next X amount of years?
Yeah, look, I'd be okay with an offensive tackle being the pick in the first round. I'd certainly be okay if that's where it winds up going in the third and fourth, right? And they get a guy that can come in and especially, you know, the end of day two, going into day three, if you draft a guy who he's going to be an option for us as a starter, maybe going into next year, or the swing tackle if he's not, right? If that's what it winds up being, okay. You know, I'm okay if that's the way that they use those draft options going into it this year. I'd be fine. You know, we've talked about the Cam thing throughout this entire process. I'd be okay if they drafted an offensive tackle at 17 and said, bye-bye, Cam. You know, me personally, I'd be okay.
I would too.
You know, if they went that way with it. So if they bring a guy in the third round to play offensive tackle, fine. I'm cool with it. You know, and I assume their evaluation on this guy is correct, and we'll see how that looks.
Right. If they go offensive tackle, I'm just not as sure I'm going to bank on him being my day one starter.
Probably
but
not.
If
yeah.
you throw him into the mix with Walker Little, and you say whoever emerges, that's who's going to start right out of the gates.
Yeah.
You know, and I would hope then, quite frankly, that the new guy that we're going to have around for the next 4 years is going to win that competition. Anyway, just interesting to see a three-round mock for the
sure.
Jags that doesn't have them taking a corner.
Huh.
In the first three rounds, right? And look, I mean, it could be a – I keep seeing them. Oh, Jags are checking out this guy's pro day, that guy's pro day. And these are not household name first and second round type guys necessarily. So, you know, look, maybe they think, hey, for a year, Ronald Darby can hold it down opposite Tyson Campbell. We need to get some young guys in the pipeline. Maybe we need to spend those fourth round picks. Maybe the 96 pick and and one of those fourths on the quarterback position – with the idea that one of those guys is going to develop into a full-time starter for us by next year.
Yeah.
The other guy maybe ends up being quality depth. Who knows? Again, you only have so many picks, and you got a lot of holes to fill as far as that goes. Pockets, I think we need to do number three in the countdown now.
Number three.
I knew I was on time there. I thought I was anyway. I'll give you Jalen Ramsey at number three is who I put there. Look, I get A.J. Boye, and you can make a good statistical argument for him, particularly because mm-hmm. he played – one less year here in Jacksonville. I feel like Ramsey had more of an aura, a more of a presence, more of a change the way defenses would play the Jags, and maybe that worked to A.J. Boye's benefit. They were a great complement to each other. And again, this is not about how Jalen left the team, which will always leave a bad taste in my mouth, but in terms of the quality of player he was
mm-hmm.
when he was in Jacksonville, I don't think there's much argument with how good Jalen Ramsey was. I thought he was outstanding. You know, he was among the better corners in the National Football League and was here from 16 through 19. That one contract, which is what we're looking at today, the top five, one contract, Jacksonville Jaguars. So I got Ramsey at three pockets. Who you got?
I'm going to go unique. Played 4 years here, 8, 12, 9.5, 8, the four full seasons he played.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the productivity he had. I know people say that, you know, he could only do one good thing, and he did it really well.
He did.
And, you know, if we had it in the draft, we had three guys that could rush the passer, I'd take them. So you can do that. You can do it well. There's always a spot for you.
Yeah, he was a great third-round pick.
He was?
This is a great third-round
No pick. Doubt.
Still producing in the sack department.
Yes, he is.
Who you got?
And he'd be being paid very well to produce in the sack department here if he wanted the money.
Indeed.
From Jackson. Well, number three for me. Showed up at number 22 on the Jaguars All-25 list before the 2019
okay.
season. Gary Walker, three seasons here, 1999 to 2001. Pro Bowler in 2001. Recorded 10 sacks for the Jags in his first season here. That would be 1999. That's a season of note for the Jaguars. Played 11 seasons in the NFL. Two of his three best years were when he was here with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did make a Pro Bowl the year after he left here in 2002 with Houston, but a really, you know, he's a guy that we've talked about a bunch since those early Jaguars days and was a good enough player that having only played here 3 years was one spot ahead of David Garrard on their All-25 list that
yeah.
year. You know, like Gary Walker was a great player despite his short time here in Jacksonville. Good enough for number three on the list for me.
G-Funk has made a lot of people's lists from the submissions that I've seen so far this morning. So if you haven't sent us your top five, please do. We're looking for the top five Jaguars, in your opinion, that only played one contract with the team. Right? There's some obvious ones still to come, and we will get to them as we continue the countdown here. This is Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Dylan Denmark here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today
on 1010XL.
All right, moving along here. Guggen Open 17th annual in the rear view. Thanks to Coastal Equipment, our title sponsor, Hidden Hills, for having us out there. And the beautiful sunshine provided by Mother Nature is doing overtime work lately, man. I'm just knocking on whatever. Keep that up around these parts, Tony. So we'll continue our countdown here in a moment of the top five Jaguars who only played one contract with the team. We're just talking on the break, like, what could the Jags do? I say this as if they couldn't come up with something even more outrageous. If it were to happen that you go, oh, I can see them doing that, but what just happened? You know what I mean? Like they're not going to take a quarterback at 17, right? That's not – so that this wouldn't fit in this category.
No.
Because we'd be like, well, that's just impossible. Not going to happen, right? They're not going to take a kicker or a punter in round one or something like that, right? I remember the year – we always have those pre-draft luncheons. I don't know if you went to the one the year Gene Smith was like, look, man, we're not taking a quarterback, right? And this was after they'd taken Leftwich, and it was like – but that was the year Roethlisberger was out there, right? Mm-hmm. So, but they put it out. They're like, hey, look, let's within reason here. We just took a guy in the top 10. We're just talking about on the break, though. Cardinals took Josh Rosen, and next year they took Kyler Murray. That's, 10th overall pick. Man, I hope he saved his cash. Anyway, who's a guy, Tone, or a position or whatever you feel fits this that you'd be like, I don't think they're going to, but damn, I could absolutely see it possibly happening, and I would be scratching my head.
There's different ways to go at that, right?
And this is barring a trade up.
Because the possible thing makes it hard, right? Because this is the kind of category that I would put like a Chop Robinson in.
Okay.
Not because
that would be a good one.
Right? Because if Trent Baalke drafted that guy at 17, I'd be like, what? What? It's so opposite of what I would expect out of Trent Baalke. Right, it's
would
not.
You?
Yes, because of his size stuff. The way he measures, like I have had him eliminated in my mind for weeks now.
But isn't he super athletic?
Super athletic,
right?
Guy.
And I get the size thing, but to me, the athleticism.
That's why they would do it.
Right. That's why I would think like athleticism over production.
But I've eliminated him in my mind because I have been convinced that Baalke is committed to those numbers.
Okay, but having eliminated him in your mind, do you think it's impossible that they could select him? Like, is that guy in that category? You have taken him out of it because you don't think it's possible they'll take him?
I don't think it's possible they'll take
him.
Yeah.
So who do you have a guy? Is there a guy that fits this? Chop Robinson, by the way. I'm looking at Matt Miller's big board, his final rankings of 400-plus players. Chop Robinson, 35th overall. So, I'm not – you know me. I want pass rush production. I'll give you –
trying to think of one player. Maybe a guy like Tyler Guyton.
Okay,
right, who's kind of in that, conversation for the fourth, fifth offensive tackle in this year's draft.
He's interesting just because he played with Anton, and they played as a set, and that kind of makes it interesting to me. To me, Nate Wiggins is a guy, like, could they fall in love with his speed? And it's not like Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell are slow, right? But if they took Nate Wiggins ahead of one of those guys, if they took any corner ahead of one of the two that we've convinced ourselves at this, but particularly Wiggins for me.
Sure.
And the other one I think of is Adonai Mitchell as like the fourth receiver. I'm not saying like if Brian Thomas is gone, they love Adonai Mitchell. Maybe they love Adonai Mitchell more than Brian Thomas anyway, right? Might, maybe they think he's a top 12 player in the draft, but that's a guy that the Texas receiver that would, I'd be like, couldn't have found a move back and gotten him five picks later. By the way, Miller ranks him 18th overall. Brian Thomas is 17th overall. Mm-hmm. Pockets, anybody fit this bill for you?
I'd say any of the tackles, like Fashanu from Penn State.
So you don't think they'll take an offensive lineman at all?
Not in the first round. If they do, it's kind of a head-scratcher. Like, and if they do, it's like, okay, what's next? Like, do you cut bait with Cam Robinson? Are you doing something Walker Little? And then the same thing with Brock Bowers. Like, I think Brock Bowers is going to do well wherever he goes. But, like we've said, like, we have Evan Engram and we have Brent Strange, and you've invested a second-round pick last year. So it's like, if you select one of those two guys, I would say, what's next? Like, what are you going to do with the other pieces that you have?
The Brock Bowers thing would absolutely fit for me. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I mean, you know what? Like, I guess they'd have a vision, right? Like, you can't make that pick without Doug Peterson fully on board and going, this is how we envision this working with he and Evan Engram and Christian Kirk and all these guys in the lineup and maximizing, you know, if you're going to take Brock Bowers, can you take Brock Bowers in the middle of round one on a team that had 114 catch tight end? How many targets can you possibly give Brock Bowers that would justify that selection? I don't know, man. I just like the Fashanu, and that's what I'm going with Olu.
Well, you could go to an old school name. We just haven't said it in a while because it's fallen out of contention for a lot of Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, because
that would surprise me because they signed Morse, but that would make some logical sense because you could play him at guard.
But the closer we've gotten to the draft, the more I've heard Jackson Powers Johnson being maybe the end of the first round, early in the second
round. Me too.
Right? Yeah. Like, that's the entire conversation with him. And a lot of the conversation around him has been, I'm not even sure he's the best center, right, in this year's draft. So if they were on the clock at 17 and that wound up being the name, I'd be like, Like, I could try to make sense of it for all the reasons we talked about.
So would all the people who hate Balky be happy, or now are they mad because we wasted that money on Morse, or how would they say? I think a lot of them would still be happy. I think it'd be a head-scratcher for a lot of people, though, because they feel like the signal is that they're done for now on the offensive line. And I do think they want to look at Cooper Hodges this year and see if he can be instead of spending the 17th pick on the guy that ultimately replaces Brandon Scherff or Mitch Morse, what if we got him in the fifth or sixth round, right? We have that cheap labor.
Yeah.
I do think they'd like to do that. Like, Graham Barton would surprise me. It would make sense.
Right.
But it would surprise me because we haven't been conditioned. Like, the offensive tackles wouldn't. I feel like if it's Fashanu and you're like, if you're getting a guy you think is a premier left tackle prospect.
Yeah. The offensive tackles would surprise me if that was the name, if one of those top two corners was there. That's when I'd be like, what?
That still wouldn't surprise me that much because I think you can find guys with traits, right? Certain height, speed, quickness, ability to break on the ball. I think you can find traits in corners and develop those guys more than – I don't think you're going to – it happens. I think you're going to find more Pro Bowl corners from the second round on than you're going to find Pro Bowl offensive tackles.
Yeah.
Right? If that makes sense. Right? Yeah. And I just think, so from that standpoint, I get what you're saying. It wouldn't be a laydown, but if they went that route, they took Fautanu over Quinyon Mitchell. Okay. I mean, it's a little curious. Huh. Okay, they did that, but it's not, to me, taking some of these other guys, it would be a combination of huh and oh, damn. Like, what is going on right now? All right, Pockets, where are we at in the countdown here?
Number two.
Who you got, Pockets, at number two?
I'm going to go Jalen Ramsey. One of the best DBs we had as of recent memory. Obviously didn't end well, but he was the one guy, I felt like, whenever people talked about him, like, outside of Jacksonville, he was the one person at the water cooler that everybody talked about because he was the one that was so brash and had the personality that everybody talked about. Jalen Ramsey, number two.
Okay. Tone, who you got in number two?
Number two, going back to the Jags all 25 list, right?
Okay.
Going to number 14 on the list this time, and you can hear him every day here on the air. Leon Searcy at number two for me. Four seasons here in Jacksonville. Was technically here for a fifth, but he didn't play in 2000. So 96 to 99, Pro Bowler, second team All-Pro in 1999. Missed one game in his four seasons here in Jacksonville. Was the blindside protector for Mark Burnell as the right tackle for the left-handed quarterback. And played it at a super high level, gave him the best bookend tackles they've ever had in franchise history. We'll see if they can recreate that at any time, but good enough to be number 14 on that all 25 list that year. That's good enough to be number two for me.
Big Sur's probably was more like a consideration at the 5-6 line for me. And well, apologies to Leon. If you're top six in anything, you're probably pretty good. But
yeah.
I went with Mike Peterson. And now he played 6 years here. He signed a six-year deal with the Jaguars in free agency. And he played it out. And Mike Pete, in addition to being one of the all-time leading tacklers on this team, by the way, he's the all-time leading tackler among players who only played one contract. Telvin Smith did sign a second contract with the Jags, didn't fulfill it all. But you know, the guys ahead of Mike Pete on the tackle list, on the solos anyway, Pozlesny, Darryl Smith, Donovan Darius, Rasheen Mathis, Telvin Smith. Mike Pete was as much a tone setter on this defense. Anyone pre-Calais Campbell, I think Mike Pete was as much a tone setter as just about anybody that I ever covered in that locker room, man. He was a guy who laid it all on the line every single week and really was a pro's pro. And it was intense, just a really good all-around player. There's nothing he didn't do well. He had 15 sacks in his career. We're talking about an inside linebacker here on this team. You compare that to Pozlesny, who had 13. Darryl Smith had 21 and a half. Darryl Smith played from 2004 to 2012, a lot longer with this team, and obviously those other guys didn't have nearly as many. Mike Pete, for me, better than Kevin Hardy, which was another consideration on this list, just because of what he meant year in, year out to the culture of this organization, and he was a hell of a player on top of that. So I had him at number two. Dylan, who'd you have at two? Or you already do two?
Yeah, yeah.
You did two. Who'd you do at two, Tony?
Leon.
That's right. You did. We've all done two.
Yep.
All right. For some reason, I couldn't figure that out.
It happens.
All right.
Looking at Mike Pete, by the way, he was a second-team All-Pro in 2005.
Yeah. Oh, Mike Pete's awesome. Awesome player.
Yeah, he was.
Just love what he meant to this football team. So, anyway, got him on there. I think we're going to have a lot of similarity and overlap in the number one spot this year. His name's been mentioned a time or two this morning. We'll look at your list that you submitted today. We're looking at the top five Jacksonville Jaguars who only played one contract with the football team. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Dylan Denmark here with you. We'll wrap things up on the other side. Get ready for Helmets and Heels coming up on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL.
See Gardner Minshew's shirt that he showed up for a workout in?
No.
All right, go check it out when you get a chance. It's kind of amusing. It's something that Max Crosby called him last year when they were playing against the Colts. And he put it on a shirt now that they're teammates out there in Vegas. Do you think Gardner Minshew opens the season as the Raiders' starting quarterback?
Right now, I'd guess yes.
I'd say yes, too.
Yeah.
Although I had a Raiders guy on Sirius a couple weeks ago, and he swore Aiden O'Connell. They love him. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, Minshew, what Minshew's making is like really good backup money, but it's significantly more than O'Connell is making at the moment as well. It's like 2 years, $15 million, something like that for Gardner. Good for him.
Yeah.
Buy a lot of old buses for that kind of cash, I have a feeling. So today we did our top five, or we're in the process of doing our top five Jaguars that only played one contract. Love Big Meech getting involved out there. Demetrius Harvey, we see you. Demetrius.
I had Gardner as one of the guys, at least on the short list, that I was considering
for
the five.
Absolutely.
You know, but didn't wind up in the five.
One contract. And if somebody asked, you know, I didn't take it. Like, when Demetrius put his top five, I said no Unique Ngakoue. And somebody replied that I thought it was, or they felt it was only guys that they signed. No, it was anyone just played one contract. It could be a rookie contract, could be a free agent contract. Either way, for instance, some people put Justin Blackmon in there. And I think they did. Was they're saying, here are the five most talented players to ever play for this organization, in my opinion, that only got that one deal. That deal still, did they finally cut that deal? Did they relinquish his rights?
Sure.
I felt like they did.
They might have.
But just very recently, if they did.
Yeah, it was there for a while. Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Right. We're not going to give you your freedom. We gave you the chance to make a lot of money. You stuck it to us, basically, by not, you know, and not saying you did it that way.
You weren't available.
Maliciously. You weren't available. We're not going to let somebody else profit
mm-hmm.
off of a return to the NFL if it in fact goes that way. So, all right, here we go. Who are the top five Jacksonville Jaguars? Only played one contract with the team. Why don't we go ahead and state the obvious for number one? I think
number
one, Tony,
Calais Campbell,
Pockets.
Yep,
yep. That's a clean sweep.
Yeah,
the mayor of Saxonville coming in here and putting up the best pass rush years of his career.
Yes,
really. Runner
he's
up defensive player of the year.
Two double-digit sack seasons. That was 17 and 18.
14 and a half and like 10 and a half.
14 and a half, 10 and a half. He was a Pro Bowler all 3 years here in Jacksonville. First team All-Pro for the only time in his career.
Defensive player of the year runner up.
Right, in 2017. And the 2019 Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Well, that's pretty good.
You know, and every year when Calais is a free agent again, the fans in Jacksonville are like, well, bring him back. Right, like Calais still has that draw to him, mm-hmm. even at this point, at his age, and this far into his career.
They take him right now.
Right, like Calais was such a good dude, a great player during his 3 years here in Jacksonville. He was the mayor of Saxonville. Like, he earned that.
Do I doubt he'd come in and give us 6 to 8 sacks right now off the bench?
No,
I don't doubt that for a second.
No.
Right, and the versatility to really basically play anywhere on the defensive line, and Ryan Nielsen's got a familiarity with him. Who knows? I'm not saying it's
I would love it.
Completely off the table. I think you're not going to see that kind of signing now. Let's see what we come out of the draft, right? If we do go that Marshawn Nealand route, for instance, out of Western Michigan, well, we're probably not going to look for the guy. He's somebody is going to sign him, provided he wants to continue to play.
Yeah.
And they're going to get that kind of contribution on the field. But, Tony, it's so much beyond that. You know, and some of the guys, even in my own top five list, just were repelled by Calais Campbell's way, right? Like, they felt that he was like a brown-nosing company man.
Yeah.
And, you know, much worse things than that were said about him in the presence of media at times in the locker room, to the point like, you're not even trying to hide this. Like, what are we doing here? This is a guy who came in to change, tried to help change the culture of this team, not by saying, let me go in there and wreck shop and show you what this is supposed to look like.
He's a great dude and a great
player.
Let
me just come in here and be myself.
Yeah.
And produced at a high level, I mean, crazy high level on the field. His season in 2017 is as good defensively as any season that we've seen in team history, maybe as good as any season we've seen in team history collectively.
Yeah,
Josh Allen notwithstanding.
Yeah, Gary Walker, who I had at number three on my list, right? And, you know, I had Leon on my list there at number two, and those are both guys that were in that top 25 list from a couple of years ago with the Jags. I wonder, you know, when we're doing a 50-year anniversary, right, where Calais Campbell would be in that. Like, if those two guys had enough impact in their very short time here in Jacksonville to be as high as number 13 on that list, where would Calais be? You know, on that kind of, despite only being here for 3 years, because his impact is bigger than 3 years, right? What he did in a Jaguars uniform. I don't know what the answer to that would be.
I don't either.
We'll probably find out at some point in the future when they're making those kind of teams for the Jaguars continuing, you know, lists that are going to be made going into the future, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Calais land on that list despite only being here for 3 years and land pretty highly.
Agree.
For a guy who's been here for that short a time.
I mean, this is all, you could almost done the, with the exception of Calais Campbell, who are the top five guys, and not everyone is going to feel that way, but many felt that way. Let me go through some of the top five submissions that we got with a focus particularly then on guys that we didn't include in our list. From Jay Villandaniel, Calais, Ramsey, Justin Blackmon, the aforementioned, Malik Jackson, who did get on Pocket's list, and Marcel Darius. He did have a significant impact
when he
came in. I wouldn't, you know, obviously didn't put him in my top five. Big Meech out there, Demetrius Harvey, Calais, Allen Robinson, Leon, does he count? He's, you know, signed a dummy contract to be cut. He didn't play it.
He didn't play,
Gary Walker, Jalen Ramsey. And if Ramsey doesn't count, why wouldn't he count? He counts. I mean, if you want to count him, he counts. And if he doesn't, he threw Boye in there.
I had him at six on my list.
And he threw bonus five, James Robinson. That's another good one. James Robinson's super productive. You know who else I thought about? James Stewart was a really good Jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't better than these guys, I don't think. But, you know, it was a one-contract guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a really good but not great player, but I think he's definitely at least deserves mention today. I'm assuming this is Marcel Darius. They spelled it like Donovan Darius, but that's probably who they're going with in that one. A lot of the same guys there. Boy, Kevin Hardy, if I recall correctly, only played his rookie deal. I think that's right. I think he played 5 years with the team. Like, I couldn't find the contract info, but based on when he was drafted and when he finished, like, 5-year deal, I think that's correct. And probably the sixth guy on my list, quite frankly. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want a list of 5 defenders. I wanted to, and so I broke it up by throwing Allen Robinson in there.
Mm-hmm.
This list is heavily defensive oriented. Right?
Yeah.
And I think part of that is, you can come in, you can sign a linebacker. If you play in this scheme, you're going to plug him in. You plug a corner in, you plug a pass rusher in. You got to be a little bit, if you're a wide receiver, you got to be a little bit more integrated with the quarterback and the chemistry and all that. You know, I don't know. Just a little, it seems like we've had a lot more success finding plug and play short term defensive players over the years. Let's put it that way. How about Deion Grant?
Yeah, that's
getting
a good
in
one.
There. Reggie Nelson, another one. Reggie really blossomed
after
in Cincinnati,
yeah.
Right? Reggie was a good player. Reggie, go look at Reggie's career numbers, man. He had some damn good numbers when it was all said and done. I loved that pick when they made it.
I did too.
Absolutely freaking loved it. Deion Grant's a solid player. Big Cerse, getting some more love here. Mike Pete, yes. Carnell Lake did go to the Pro Bowl in 99. I felt like that was a kind of a name recognition.
I was about to say, you go look at the numbers, it's like, what?
Yeah, how did Carnell Lake make the Pro Bowl that year?
Yeah,
well, he came in with a big reputation, and he started on the league's best defense.
Yeah, there were a lot of Pro Bowl players for the Jaguars in 1999. They were the most dominant team in football that year, and so they had a bunch of guys that were making the Pro Bowl. But you go back and look, Carnell Lake in 1999 started all 16 games. He had 3.5 sacks, no interceptions, 6 passes defensed, 58 tackles. Second team All-Pro and Pro Bowler?
Pro Bowler, yeah. That's the value. That's not small market. That's a guy who came in with the rep already.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and you get – sometimes it works in your favor. Once you start getting in there –
certainly did there, yeah.
It's tough to make the first one sometimes. Once you make it, it's tough to keep them out sometimes. Mm-hmm. Oh, who are we going to – how about Carnell Lake? Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Bush Drive Rich always interacts with the show. Love him, okay? Had a lot of the same guys. Calais, Mike Pete, Jan, Jalen, Chris Fuamatu Ma'afala. Chris Fu. I think I felt like he wanted to give him a shout-out, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And that's fine.
That's cool.
Let's see. Jalen by his quitting. Allen Robinson. Fournette. Jan. And that is where I know Irish diplomacy's gone off the deep end because he put Huge Douglas in there.
yeah,
let's see. Anybody else?
Wild.
Paz played more than one contract here.
He did.
What about Kyle Brady?
Yeah, I just saw on the text line, Kyle Brady, I'm pretty sure did. Natron Means, that's a pretty good call.
Yeah, that's absolutely
a big impact. I think he was here 2 years. Ultimately, but big impact those couple
Huge,
years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here.
Very, very good. Look, it's again, it comes down to personal preference and how you look at these guys and how you value them and their contributions to the team. You know, at the top of my list, I kind of lean the two-way guys, the on-field and the culture, both. If you can have that kind of impact. I mean, Calais Campbell's going to be, as much as he was great on the field. The cultural imprint he left with the fan base, and hopefully with a few of the players. Josh Allen, I'm sure, has benefited from having played with Calais Campbell.
There's not another player here that has played since the run of 05 to 07 that is more beloved by the fan base than Calais Campbell. There might be players that are currently on the roster that'll wind up in that same kind of category. Guys like Trevor and Josh, like when they finish their careers here in Jacksonville, they'll probably be on that same kind of level. But Calais was here for 3 years, and I don't think there's been a player since the run ended in 07 that's been more beloved by the fan base than Calais Campbell was for the 3 seasons he was here. And they still want him back. Even at the end of it here, the fans still want him back for one more run.
Yeah, I'm surprised, honestly, we didn't get Rob Johnson. And he, Rob Johnson's like the catch-all that fits in so many damn categories, right? We're just like, oh, Rob Johnson, yeah, man. Great. He only played one contract. turned into Fred Taylor. That's pretty good. And Tavian Banks, yeah. By the way. So anyway, that was a fun one to look back on today. And obviously next week it'll be more about your draft wish list as we march on. Tomorrow will be 8 days out from the first round of the NFL draft. And next week we're planning on overloading it with a lot of our favorite Jaguar correspondents, and at least inviting them to appear on the show. Our draft guys like Tony Pauline and Chad Ryder and the like, as we hit the accelerator right before Thursday. Next Wednesday, week from tomorrow, is the media mock draft. So we'll do the first 16 selections on Jaguars today, and then Helmets and Heels will pick up with the Jags on the clock after that. So, and pretty soon we'll all be shaking our fist in frustration at what the Jags actually did in the NFL draft. But I hope not. I hope we're all thrilled by it, or whatever we feel about it, that they outplay our expectations. But for now, we are done on the day. We appreciate you tuning in to Jaguars Today. For Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark, I'm Mike Dempsey. Thanks for all those who submitted your top fives. And if you didn't, you can go through my social media profile over on the X platform, @MD_1010XL, and you'll see a lot of the submissions that were sent in today. Stick around as Helmets and Heels is coming up, and we'll be that much closer to a fresh batch of Jaguars tomorrow on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.